This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back and thanks for staying with us. Now, back in 2019, the bill to lower the Malaysian voting age from 21 to 18 passed unanimously in Parliament and was officially gazetted in September of 2019, over a year ago now. Yet in the past few days, the debate about whether 18-year-olds should be allowed to vote has re-emerged in public discourse.
So last week, Dewan Negara President Tan Sri Rais Yatim claimed the decision to lower the voting age was made hastily and that 18-year-olds are unprepared to participate in the democratic process. Later on, Deputy Youth and Sports Minister Wan Faizal Wan Ahmad Kamal also echoed the same argument about the youth's lack of preparedness and political education.
So the Undi 18 campaign has since called on the Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to reiterate his commitment in ensuring the constitutional amendment to lower voting age is indeed implemented. The lower voting age would add nearly 4 million eligible Malaysian voters.
So for more of this, we're talking to James Chai, the head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions and a frequent political commentator. Now, James, good morning. Where are we with Undi 18 currently? It's been passed in Parliament with support unanimously, but is there really a chance it might be reversed?
So it's very important for us to agree that since July 2019, this was the first bill that has received unanimous support, which is unprecedented. After that, it has passed through all of the necessary stages in the legislative process, and it is already gazetted, which means it is something that is ready to be implemented. So the only thing that is within the government's control now is the date of enforcement. They are able to use different excuses to actually stall it. So one of it was to pair the lowering of voting age to the automatic voters registration. So if you put it as part of a package, it necessarily gives the present government more room to delay it and therefore not actually implementing the bill entirely, because that would be sort of a perceived threat or a risk factor that they're not willing to absorb.
So in your view then, is this a political move or just bureaucracy in play?
So it does seem at this stage that the only bureaucracy in the way is the part about the automatic voters registration. So this is something that the Election Commission actually have to complete on their part to make sure that the logistics of carrying these out would be complete. Because you would imagine that in the event that an election happened, there is huge mobilization of people wanting to vote. So in order to curb that, they need to make sure all of these are set in place before we can actually lower the voting age, which would probably unleash another 3 to 4 million new voters to the registrar and to voting booths. And that's something that they definitely have to prepare. However, other than that part, the rest of the stalling is political. So the question for a lot of us to ask is, what is behind that political motive that is shifting the goalposts?
But James, Undi 18 bill was passed with unanimous bipartisan support in 2019. So what has changed that would cause a prominent Bersatu member such as Tan Sri Rais Yatim to question its implementation at this juncture?
I think since the change of government, there is actually no clear signal yet from the present government that they are willing to commit to whatever the previous government was doing. And bearing in mind as well that one of the greatest achievements from the Pakatan Harapan government is to get something like that passed, a constitutional amendment that rarely happens in a bipartisan fashion anyway. So I think there was no proper explanation as to why the present government is not interested to pursue it. Whatever Rais Yatim has said about young voters not being ready, that political education is probably needed, all of these are old arguments that we have dealt with before the passage of Undi 18's bill. So I don't know whether that is necessarily representative of Tan Sri Muhyiddin's government. But the change actually happened during Sheraton move. And I think from then on, they are very careful in saying yes to things that were done by the previous government. And they're very afraid of saying yes to anything at all, given the instability that is inflicting the present government.
So speaking of youth and politics, James, we also know that MUDA failed to register itself as a political party with the Registrar of Societies last month. Is it the end of the line for them? And what other options do they have?
Yeah, so the most common move for political parties who face similar situations is for them to appeal. But I know that if there is deliberate efforts to actually not allow registration or to stall registration efforts, it is probably further proof that the present government is fearful of young voters because it is a sea of unknown for them. So what parties like Muda could do, and this is something that was done by previous political parties before, was to co-opt existing political parties. So normally these are political parties that are almost abandoned and adopt the entire machinery, their structure, and to change names, right? So this is something that is done most recently by actually Amanah. They adopted the Workers' Party, if I'm not mistaken. So they do not have to go through the registration process again. However, I think there is certain difficulties in that approach as well. To be able to find a party that you could co-opt is not as easy. And second of all, I think there is also an interest in Muda wanting to establish itself rather than taking the easy approach. They want for the party to be branded in a certain manner as well. So whether that option is readily available for everyone under the sky is definitely questionable.
And as we think ahead to the next general election, if Undi 18 does materialize this year, how might that sway the outcome? Since we don't know much about how this large group of young people might vote, considering they don't have a voting track record.
The direction in which young people would vote is actually the most interesting question because it is an area with extremely scarce data sets. At the same time, there's actually polarizing views as to where they're actually headed. One perception, which I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin's government actually hold on to, they perceive young people to be more principled and more liberal, more open to wanting changes in the system, and therefore it is not favorable if you're in the establishment. And because a lot of the young voters who will register are probably urban-based as well. Now, whether there is some sort of justification in this way of thinking is obviously something that we can challenge. But on the one hand, it is true that when young people in this age grow up in the world of technology, they're able to access global trends, which are more likely to be, you know, liberal in nature. Couple that with extremely high unemployment among young people, a struggling economy, they are more likely to be angry of what the present government is doing, especially given Sheraton move. But because data is so little in this front, it's very difficult for us to make that kind of conclusion. All we can do is that when we look into past voting patterns among young people, it is not that straightforward to say that young people always favor the opposition more. There are some data to actually show us young voters favor the establishment. Some people say it's because the government at the end of the day still controls the purse strings, has the largesse of convincing unmotivated young voters. And whenever they do something, they would fall into the establishment's arms. But I think until we have enough data on this, it's very hard for us to say which direction. But my sense is that this is anyone's game.
So do you see any of the political parties then actively courting the Undi 18 voter base, and how are they doing it?
So there isn't any concerted effort. So the space, to my opinion, controlled by and championed by Syed Saddiq, there is no real challenger in this space yet, because I think he was also very fortunate to have entered cabinet at a very young age. So it gives him great spotlight to be able to sort of exemplify as well as heighten whatever acts that he does to help youth of his generation. So other than Syed Saddiq, there's no real concerted effort by any political party to appeal to very young voters. If you ask each of these political parties, they would say that it is, but there is no real effort yet because maybe there is a certain sense of unfamiliarity on how to do that, especially when most of the parties are still controlled by old guards. There is, however, something to be said about the grassroots or like the machinery that's available. So what we do know for a fact is that UMNO and PAS's youth wings are one of the most mature in the country. In other words, their ability to mobilize young voters, meaning anyone below 35 maybe, they have the existing infrastructure all across the country to be able to do that well. However, when it comes to which party being the most ready in fielding candidates for elections, in other words, the quickest ascendancy to power seems to be DAP and PKR, who has shown through their past records they are able to actually do that, and they are able to also line up behind that candidate to make sure that they get elected. So there is a certain level of rational calculus that young people would have when it comes to their participation into party politics.
That was James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions. I mean, just based on what James is saying, it's very hard to ignore the notion, okay? Not a fact, but the notion that by not allowing the 3 or 4 million young voters, it's because these people, right, the youth of today are the lost generation. They are unemployed, they are bereft of funds, they're not able to get on the property ladder, they can't invest. I mean, they are basically paying for the sins of their forefathers, which is basically the incumbent government, the establishment. It's not difficult to assume that the young would want to change because they're not in the best possible situation.
I think the impact here is going to be large if they come in, because they are an unknown entity and quantity. And if you're talking about 18 to 21, that number, actually that population is spread across the country. And if we have a lot of marginal constituencies, they can really shift numbers very fast. And I think this is the uncertainty, that's why you see a lot of the old guard politicians you mentioned just now, Chuang, very nervous and scared, because they can really make a big shift.
But that's exactly what James is saying. There isn't enough data to know how these people will vote, right? Yep. So maybe, you know, it will be an interesting time to see. We will probably, if Undi 18 happens, and then that is happening before the next general election, only then will we really know how the youth think or what are their priorities. And it is a question we are asking this morning on our Twitter poll.
Yes, of course. Basically, about 100, over 100 votes, and split quite evenly between the question of how might the youth sway the outcome of the next elections. More than a third say towards the opposition. And again, more than a third say they won't vote based on party. So basically, the legacy issues of being a race-based party might crumble, okay? And for me, personally, it's very interesting. It might be interesting to see, once there's more data sets available, how that triangulates back towards geography, location, education, and affluence, or the lack thereof.
And how parties might evolve to get their vote, this vote.
Yep.
Okay, we'll come back after this with the news, and after that, The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.